content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Ellen Sura for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Restaurant Review. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Yes Weekly, Indie Week, Walter, and Our State. My first restaurant review is from Yes Weekly, Chow Down at Milner's American Southern by John Batchelor. Milner's American Southern is a family enterprise. Brothers John and Buddy Milner, Winston-Salem natives, started out working in area restaurants as teenagers, then went to the Culinary Institute of America. They honed their chops cooking in the Charleston area, focusing on Southern regional style, then came back home and opened their own restaurant in August of 2005. Wendy Milner learned table service at the acclaimed Sherwood Inn in Skaney Adelaide, New York. She also spent time in Charleston before taking over the service team and managing catering at Milner's. From entry, you pass by a welcome station. A large U-shaped bar area occupies center stage. Several dining rooms are separated from each other, allowing a fairly low noise level, permitting conversation in normal tones. Bar service earns special commendation. The wine list, like many these days, is constructed around mostly unfamiliar selections, but tastes are provided on request to help you make an informed decision. Moreover, servers were able to provide accurate descriptions in wine speak, as well as making informed recommendations. Jerry and Anna, who prefer cocktails, praised the whiskey smash and rum punch. The cuisine incorporates local ingredients whenever feasible, and, as the name of the restaurant implies, preparations follow a Southern theme. The fried calamari here deserves praise for crisp texture as well as flavor. The menu enhancement is pepper sauce, a spicy sweet concoction. My wife asked if there was an alternative in case we didn't like it. Our astute server immediately suggested the kitchen's remoulade sauce, and when our serving arrived, it magically included both sauces. And they are both quite tasty indeed. I was even more impressed with fried green tomatoes. Tart slices are cut thin, lightly battered, and fried to a crisp crust that still allows the tomatoes to retain a firm texture. Solid skill in the kitchen. And the accompanying tomato chutney is a knockout, blended with soft cooked onions, sweetish in flavor, an excellent complement to the principal flavor of this dish. A scoop of basil-inflected boursin cheese is placed on the side, adding another taste aspect. Crab cakes are available in several configurations, as a standalone starter, an add-on to a salad, or as an entree. We tried the former. It's an ample portion delivering good crab flavor from within a softest construction, enhanced with a mild beurre blanc sauce. Fried chicken is marinated in buttermilk. The crust is crisp and flavorful in its own right, the fowl befitting from the marinade, further enhanced with a mild tomato gravy. Carolina gold rice and fresh collard greens are the well-chosen vegetables. Camel City Frogmore Stew is a Southern variation on Chiappino, here hosting shrimp, oysters, mussel, and sausage, plus hominy and corn simmered in brown ale. Grilled bread is provided for dipping. This is wonderful. Nochi, potato dumplings, are soft, tender, and delicious. I could make a meal off of these alone. They are joined in Milner's preparation with large sautéed shrimp, further enhanced with cherry tomato, sweet onion, zucchini, arugula, lemon butter, and basil, yielding another major league winner. Salmon gets a coating of crushed Moravian cookies. This treatment honors Winston-Salem's heritage and adds a flavor somewhat akin to crushed pecans. This is decorated with mild beurre blanc sauce and plated over a heritage Carolina gold rice and sautéed spinach. The vegetables could have used a little something to perk them up, but they are high quality. Pot roast, on the other hand, is robustly flavored, a function of long, slow cooking. The menu entitles it overnight, and I believe it. A scoop of mashed potatoes alongside gains flavor when blended with the braising juice and tender strips of meat. Roasted broccoli and carrots complete the presentation. Top sirloin steak can be ordered in two sizes, 8 or 16 ounces. A half a pound of red meat is more than enough for me or any of my acquaintances. The taste is solid, although a strip of firm white gristle eroded an otherwise pleasant experience. Fries are enhanced with black garlic and truffle oil. The kitchen makes its own steak sauce, which I think they could bottle and sell. I think my favorite entree turned out to be the pork chop. Large, thick, tender, and juicy, dusted with mild blackening spices, decorated with that tomato chutney. It's presented over a potato pancake with fresh collard greens on the side. A large portion, abundantly flavored. We tried two desserts, both commendable. Bread pudding with caramel sauce and coconut buttercream cake. The cake was noteworthy for the creamy texture of the cake itself, in addition to excellent flavor extended with raspberry sauce. Any restaurant that is able to sustain itself for 20 years deserves recognition. Here's hoping for another 20. Check their website for specials and music. Milner's is one of my favorites. Milner's American Southern is located at 630 South Stratford Road in Winston-Salem. Their number, 336-768-2221, and the website, go to Milner's, M-I-L-N-E-R-S, .com. Next up, from Indie Week, Lunch Money, a big burger and big surcharge at Big Bob's, a satisfying cheeseburger combo in the heart of Hillsboro, by Lena Geller. Housed in a brick building with matching brick red shingles, Big Bob's City Grill sits just off Highway 70 across the street from a laundromat and catty corner from a taqueria. The restaurant's website described it as being in the heart of Hillsboro, which typically signals a downtown location. That's not quite the case here, although it could still qualify as the heart, just not the geographic one. I'm disoriented upon arrival. In the parking lot, cars are parked every which way, and the restaurant's storefront is swathed with black netting with vertical slits cut to create several different entrances. I'm trying to figure out which slit to walk through when a woman climbing out of her car takes pity on me. "It's the middle one, baby," she says. Inside the restaurant, it's immediately reassuring to spot not only an acceptable sanitation score, 94, but also a colorful third-grade classroom-esque sign that reads, "Spread kindness, not germs." Big Bob's has an old-school vibe. The floor is checkered, the tables are covered in thick blue vinyl tablecloths, butter-yellow chairs are bolted to the ground, and the menu is written on a whiteboard behind the register. It shows evidence of recent price adjustments. Smudges of old numbers lurk beneath the new, but most everything still falls within my budget. A la carte lunch options include a teriyaki chicken sandwich for $10, a bologna sandwich for $5, a mushroom burger for $9, among other handhelds. The lunch combos, ranging from $10 to $13, offer the best value: a main, pork chops, Philly cheesesteak, cheeseburger, or a fish sandwich, plus fries and a drink. The line is long, but there's plenty to look at while waiting. On the wall, an oil painting depicts a slice of cake beneath a glass cloche. By the register, slices of lemon bundt cake sit in clear plastic clamshells. Beside them, a collection of business cards forms a small shrine to a local services. One advertises a bail bondsman named The Rock. Another promotes a paint and design company called Integrity Coatings. I finally reach the front of the long line and greet the cashier, a man wearing an orange and blue plaid button-down and a newsboy cap. I plan to ask him two questions: who is Big Bob, and I'm really hungry, what should I get? but the pace of service doesn't invite chit-chat. I ordered the cheeseburger combo for $11.99. The cashier hands me a cup of crushed ice and gestures to a row of large drink dispensers. Sweet tea, unsweet tea, lemonade, water, something red that's probably punch. Then he scribbles CB on a guest check pad and rings me up for $13.98. I'd calculated something closer to $12.80 with tax, so there must be a credit card surcharge. Tips are cash only. I make a mental note to grab some coins from my car before I leave. I fill my cup with sweet tea and find a seat. 7 minutes later, the cashier nods at me. I approach the register and he opens a styrofoam container for inspection. The gesture feels as ceremonial as an upside-down blizzard demonstration at Dairy Queen. I give him a thumbs up. Back at my table, which is stocked with paper towels, ketchup, mustard, and Texas Pete, I stare down the most ambitious burger I have ever encountered. The size of the patty makes the American cheese on top look like a postage stamp. The onion and tomato slices, too, appear comically undersized. It is a solid burger. Nothing that'll send you into a trance, but nothing to fault either. The crinkle-cut fries, dusted with red seasoning and light as clouds inside, steal the show. I retrieve $2.40 in quarters and dimes from my car and dump them in the tip jar, bringing my total to $16.38. It is the most I've spent on a lunch money meal so far. Then again, this is the most substantial meal I've gotten. Big surcharge, big portions. At Big Bob's, the name is truth in advertising. Big Bob's City Grill is located at 584 Cornelius Street in Hillsboro. Their number is 919-732-2953 and no website. From Walter Magazine, Meet Up, Lagana's Smash Burgers Sizzle on West Street by Catherine Curran. My goal was always to have a burger joint, says Luis Zuan, co-owner and chef of Lagana. And since last October, that's where you'll find him 4 days a week, taking orders at the door, chatting with guests at the bar, and monitoring the sizzling flat top. Lagana has been on my mind forever. Back in the day, it was a little different, but it's always been burgers, he says. The restaurant is co-owned by Zuan with Carlos Lemus Sr. and Carlos Lemus Jr., who are father and son. Suan got to know them through a recreational soccer league that he joined after he moved to North Carolina from the Dominican Republic in 2021. A dentist by trade, Suan always loved spending time in the kitchen as a creative outlet. So when he moved here, he set his sights on the Raleigh restaurant scene, working at Mandolin and Bloomsbury Bistro, and then as the founding chef at Madre. Before I started my own thing, I wanted to make a name for myself here in town, he says. As their friendship developed, Zuan and the Lemuses talked about going into business together. Carlos Sr. had worked for 40 years at the Cheesecake Factory, working his way up from dishwasher to director of operations for its corporate office, where he helped perfect their famous dessert recipes. Carlos Sr. always encouraged me, if you ever want to open a restaurant, let's do it together, Zuan says. Carlos Jr. brought along a background in property management and business development. In 2024, Zuan learned that Prospects Restaurant and Bar on West Street was closing, so he jumped on the opportunity to secure the space. I saw the place and thought this would be perfect for my dream restaurant, Zuan says. He'd always envisioned a small restaurant. Lagana just seats 25, and felt this layout would lend itself to a unique communal dining environment. The kind of connection that we create, the vibe that happens here, is a beautiful thing. I don't think we could achieve it if it were bigger. Inside Lagana, a bar anchors the length of the room, looking toward the open kitchen, where guests at the counter can watch their burgers get smashed in real time. But it's not your typical burger joint. Every smash burger is made with Wagyu beef from Wilder's Farm, which raises 100% full-blood Wagyu cattle about 30 minutes away in Turkey, North Carolina. That level of quality translates directly to the plate, says Jacqueline Smith, who co-owns Wilder's with her husband Reed. When Luis shared his vision for Lagana, we were immediately excited about the concept. An elevated burger spot in downtown Raleigh, featuring a Wagyu smash burger. It felt like a natural partnership. Zuan says the menu will always be short and sweet, offering just three burgers and a handful of appetizers and sides. The menu mainstay is the textbook burger, aptly named as a classic for its combo of Yankee cheddar cheese, shredded lettuce and onions, and a secret sauce, a creamy and tangy topping slathered on the bun. Lagana will also rotate two burger combinations each month, plus a seasonal cake flavor in addition to the cacao, a decadent double-layer chocolate cake topped with chocolate frosting. The menu includes nods to Zuan's home country, plus riffs on South American traditions. The influences of the Dominican Republic will be in anything I do. It may be a plate or even just an ingredient, he says. One example, the Tar Heel Tostones, in which you dip a twice-fried plantain slices, a Dominican staple, into Zuan's take on pimento cheese. We do a cheese foam that is an elevated French technique. Then we add the chili oil that we make here in-house, he says. That combination of flavors is what it's all about here in Lagana, and that's what you're going to see every time you come in. In addition to the everyday burger menu, Zuan is hosting a monthly omakase, a form of Japanese dining where the chef dictates each course for the guests. I love burgers, but I also need to keep creating and continue to evolve. And the idea of doing whatever we want with an omakase was the go-to, says Zuan. It is in keeping with Lagana's motto, do whatever you want, a loose translation of the restaurant's name. Sometimes, he says, he'll offer true omakase with a sushi-tasting menu. Think clam crudo, otori nigiri, and ceviche. He's also riffed on omakase-style evenings, like one with Mexican-inspired cuisine for Cinco de Mayo and an evening of aphrodisiacs for Valentine's Day. The first two omakase dinners sold out in minutes. It's about sourcing the best product and having a theme for it. They were fantastic, he says. Carlos Sr. bakes the cakes that Lagana serves each night for dessert. The cakes are as homey as possible. You feel like your grandma made it, says Zuan. I want every bite to offer a new experience, says Carlos Sr., something memorable for every customer. Carlos Jr. supports the operations of the restaurant. Carlos Jr. is the backbone here. He manages all the numbers, all the things that everyone else hates, laughs Zuan. Carlos Sr. says he loves working with Zuan and his son at Lagana. My son always reminds us that our 5-star reviews aren't about being flawless, he says. They are a reflection of our honesty, imperfection, and the care we put into everything we do. Zuan's ultimate goal is to make guests feel at home in his restaurant. We'll make you feel amazing, not only because the food tastes good, but because of all the little details that got us here, he says. Lagana is located at 911 Northwest Street, Suite 105 in Raleigh. Their website is lagana-raleigh.com. Next up from our state, the taste of coastal comfort. On Carolina Beach, a family honors the memory of their patriarch through the restaurant he founded and his award-winning seafood chowder, by Eric Ginsburg. The most important dish at Michael's Seafood, the seafood chowder, is highlighted prominently in a bright yellow box at the top of the menu. In the same way, the most important thing about the restaurant, the McGowan family, is pictured, framed in gold, next to the host stand, the first thing patrons see when they arrive. The beachfront portrait is the type of beaming photo you might expect to see hanging over the mantle in a family's home. In a way, it is. This restaurant, founded by Michael and Shelley McGowan in 1998, predates both their sons and has served as a backdrop for their lives. Once we had our boys, they were part of the daily grind with us, Shelley recalls. Not only them, but the other young families that have worked at the restaurant. I have great memories of setting up video games and having dance parties and movie nights for all the kids at the restaurant while the parents were working. To a casual observer, say one of the countless tourists who have driven 5 minutes up the road from the Carolina Beach Boardwalk each summer, Michael's Seafood might look like a typical tropical-themed restaurant. But quickly, it becomes clear there's a deeper purpose here. For starters, nothing on the menu is fried, a practically sacrilegious approach to seafood on this state's coast, and one that still causes the occasional diner to turn on their heels. But there's also the black bench outside the front door, dedicated in loving memory of Michael McGowan, a plaque by the bathrooms honoring local soccer coaches who embody his ethos, and on the tableside napkin dispensers, an obituary of sorts explaining Michael's legacy of service. Michael had already been diagnosed with cystic fibrosis when he and Shelley met while working at a country club in Pennsylvania. At first, he thought she was a bit too young and bossy, she says. We had a bit of a disagreement for a month or so, but eventually we fell in love. It was easy to do. The next year, they got married on a snowy November day, holding the wedding reception at work. 2 years later, they opened a restaurant on the North Carolina coast, where they hoped the salt air would be good for Michael's health. I always tell people that he knew he wasn't going to live to be an old man, so he truly experienced life the way people should, Shelley said. He actually taught me so much about living life to the fullest. When Michael's Seafood first opened in a much smaller storefront, the kitchen lacked a deep fryer. That didn't bother Michael. He embraced it. The McGowan's eldest son, Dylan, recalls that his dad was health conscious, down to the food he served in the restaurant. He already had a strong belief of not dunking a fish in a fryer and taking away the taste of it, Dylan says. It was something that made us stand out. Instead, Michael developed a seafood chowder recipe that would serve as a year-round staple to draw people in. The recipe, which includes clams, scallops, and crab meat, as well as potatoes and vegetables in a creamy base, hasn't changed, and it's become the restaurant's calling card. The rich chowder is so good that the McGowans were able to march into Newport, Rhode Island, the birthplace of chowder, and win first place in the Great Chowder Cook-Off 3 years in a row before being retired to a newly created Hall of Fame designed to give someone else a chance at the title. The following year, 2012, Michael died due to complications from cystic fibrosis. Since then, much has changed at the restaurant that bears his name. With Shelley at the helm, Michael's Seafood underwent a significant renovation and a refresh a few years later, embracing a more playful, tropical theme, complete with a palm thatch roof over the tables. The acclaimed chowder now ships directly to customers nationwide and is available at Harris Teeter and other stores. Dylan, now 23, is a managing partner in the business, having worked every station and job since he first started bussing tables around age 10. And Michael has remained at the heart of this place that's been around almost as long without him. Sitting in one of the restaurant's booths, Dylan clasps his hands on the table in front of him. He was 10 when Michael died, but he remembers plenty about his dad. A great chef who could be stern but also fun. The face of the family's restaurant who was well known in the community. A devoted soccer coach who loved working with kids. More than anything, Dylan says he wants people to know that the family is still fighting for a cure for cystic fibrosis. They host an annual golf tournament to raise money for the cause and participate in other fundraisers. The signs are all over the restaurant, including a surfboard painted with a blue 65 surrounded by red roses. A laminated page explains that children with the disease have an easier time pronouncing 65 roses, and the synonym stuck. Support for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, among many other initiatives to give back, had always been one of Michael's defining efforts, too. Dylan originally aspired to enter the medical field to work on finding a cure himself. But as he got older, he fell in love with the restaurant and its predictable unpredictability. My mom tried to push me away from it, actually. She's seen a lot for over 25 years, and she's like, I know what goes into this. You don't want to do this. But she saw for herself that I was really enjoying it and wanted to be part of it. Dylan is young. At least he's young compared to the regulars at Michael Seafood, who are mostly of his parents' or grandparents' generations. He's young compared to the music playing. And he's young compared to the restaurant itself. But despite his boyish face, he exudes the seriousness and confidence of a business owner. His clock ticks in time with this place. Last year, he convinced his mother to modernize and adopt a new point-of-sale system. At first wary of the kitchen, he's now mastered every station, especially drawn to the speed and interactive nature of sauté. Walking through the restaurant's bar area, he chats with regulars, demonstrating the kind of comfort and familiarity that's only earned with time. One couple at the bar, Bob and Vicky Young, have watched Dylan and his brother Davis grow up. Having first visited the restaurant as tourists from Atlanta more than 20 years ago, the Youngs moved a few miles away and now come in a few times each week during the off-season and a little less often when there's a wait for tables in the summer. They're devout fans, even though Vicky is allergic to fish. The food is consistently excellent, she says, adding that she alternates between a burger and a salad. The staff stays the same, and they all care about our service. I would say it's the best food on the beach, and maybe even further in. The Youngs return to Michael's Seafood as reliably as the crowds who flock to town each summer. And despite its earth-shaking loss of Michael, the McGowan family has found a way to offer consistency, too, honoring what makes the restaurant special while leaving themselves room to grow. Michael's Seafood is located at 1206 North Lake Park Boulevard in Carolina Beach. Their phone is 910-458-7761. The website, mikescfood.com. We have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Review. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Ellen Sura, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Restaurant Review is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.